Desolation Angel Radio, March 24th, 2020. If you've been following this, then you know exactly what we're doing here. If you're new to this and just tuning in, Desolation Angel Radio was a radio station and podcast that I did for about 8 years. A couple hours every week, music that I liked. And on the 15th, I changed it. This is now a free podcast every night as we go through these strange days that are going to transform us forever. And it is a place for other people's voices. It is a place to bring in people I know, people you might not know, but I know, to bring in a chance to give information, to give connection, to give community, to give hope. It's free. The link I provide is to the Master Library, so you can hear every episode. It's also available for free on Spotify, on iHeart, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, a lot of other podcast catchers. Let me start with a piece of music, and then I will get to tonight's interview with Terry Owens, who many of us know as Cricket.
Oh, where have you been, my blue-eyed son? Oh, where have you been, my darling young one? I've stumbled on the side of 12 misty mountains. I walked and I've crawled on 6 crooked highways. I've stepped in the middle of 7 sad forests. And I've been out in front of a dozen dead oceans. I've been 10,000 miles in the mouth of a graveyard. And it's a hard, it's a hard, it's a hard, and it's a hard. It's a hard rain gonna fall.
What if you see I'm blue eyes? What if you see my darling young one? A newborn baby with wild wolves all around it. I saw a highway of diamonds with nobody on it. I saw a black brand with blood that kept dripping. I saw a room full of men with their hammers. I saw a white ladder all covered with water. I saw 10,000 talkers whose tongues were all broken. I saw guns and short swords in the hands of young children. And it's a hard, it's a hard, it's a hard, it's a hard rain. I'm gonna fall.
And what did you hear, my blue-eyed son? And what did you hear, my darling young one? I heard the sound of a thunder, it roared out a warning. I heard the roar of a wave that could drown the whole world. I heard 100 drummers whose hands were ablaze. I heard 10,000 talking and nobody listening. I heard one person starve. I heard many people laughing. I heard the song of a poet who died in the gutter. I heard the sound of a clown who cried in the alley. And it's a heart. And it's a heart. It's a heart. And it's a heart. It's a heart rain. I'm gonna fall. I'm going back out before the rain starts falling. Now I walk to the depths of the deepest black forest, where the people are many and their hands are all empty, where the pellets of poison are flooding their waters, where the home in the valley meets the damp, dirty prison, where the executioner's face is always well hidden, where hunger is ugly, where souls are forgotten, where black is the color, where none is the number. And I'll tell it and think it and speak it and breathe it and reflect from the mountain so all souls can see. And I'll stand on the ocean until I start sinking, but I'll know my song well before I start to sing it. It's a heart, it's a heart, it's a heart, and it's a heart, it's a heart, gonna fall.
Before I jump into the interview with Cricket, like I say, our mission here each and every night is to provide some hope, some information, give you a voice you can connect to. Maybe it's someone you know. We've had so many people on here. Julie Rockcastle, who one of the owners of Green Heron Farm and the Great Blue Heron Music Festival out in Sherman, New York, where they've still got beef and chicken. Clinton Parker working here in Buffalo on Mutual Aid Networks. Richard Leake over in Boston, giving his observations and some hope that you know, we can get through this and learn some things from Mark Madden, an artist here in Buffalo and small business owner, on what artists are doing, at least here in Buffalo through this time, and trying to get one another through and looking forward. Robert Dean, author down in Austin, Texas, with his observations. Jessica Garcia, trucker, who's getting our food to our grocery stores during this time. Greg Haley with some unique observations on what's happening to us culturally and societally as a result of this. And tonight is Terry Owens, whom I know as Cricket. Some of you might know her as Cricket. An RN, 3 decades worth of experience. I will roll right into that interview, but we covered a lot of ground, and she had a lot to offer, and a lot to offer you in terms of practical things to practice and get through this as more and more is discovered about this virus. Into the interview. And as I promised in the intro, we are here with Terry Owens, whom I know as Cricket. Ms. Terry Owens, Cricket, RN, BSN, MS, received her bachelor's degree in nursing in 1987 from Loyola University in Chicago, has worked as an ICU ER RN for almost 30 years, I mean 3 decades. She began studying health, wellness, and the herbal healing arts in 1995 and earned a master's equivalent degree in herbal and Chinese medicine from the Chicago College of Healing Arts in 2004. Over the years, Terry has enjoyed teaching health, wellness, and herbal learning classes to all ages. Subjects include wellness, hands-on cooking and medicine making, medicinal and edible plant ID walks, and herbal first aid. She teaches in the home and at community centers and area grammar schools, local nature centers, and in the field. She is the founder of EcoKids, a kids learning program focused on herbal fact and lore, medicine making, and earth ecology, co-founder of Laughing Ladybug Botanicals, an herbal products web-based company, and one of the founding organizers of the Midwest Herb Fest, a yearly weekend herbal learning event in northern Indiana. She is mother to 3 grown children and currently lives and travels with her partner and lab manager, alchemist, speaker, teacher, and author, Timothy Casey Wilkerson, on their groovy blue schoolie, Rhonda. And I'll add that I know Cricket personally as just a really good friend, and she and I, we spend a lot of time at festivals. I spend it in a black hat on a golf cart saying, "You shouldn't do that. Can I see your wristband?" And she spends it at the first aid shack going, "Why did you do that?" So,
"Can I help you? Can I help you?" is how it starts.
That's right. Yeah. You did what?
What brings you in today?
You did what? How are you doing, Cricket?
I am good, Kip. Thank you so much for having me on today. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. We're just riding it out up here in Buffalo. And of course, a lot of people know, Ash and I live together. He lives with me while he's working on his house. So it's for anybody that knows Ash and me, it's Ash and me and 4 cats in the upper story of a house. Just picture that. So, yeah. But riding it out and then just doing my thing and trying to gather as much information as I can, be as helpful as I can. And in this case, part of it is doing this show every night and getting people out there that I know who both with their experiences right now in the world as the world change and with the information and knowledge they have to try and be helpful to people and serve as a point of connection and an information source. So, so that's how I'm doing. What do you got to say to people, Cricket?
Well, I've been doing a lot of talking with different folks. I, as some of you know this, Kip, about 4.5 years ago, I had a stroke. So I had to retire from the nursing bedside. And so I found that during this particular current situation, what I serve best as is a conduit. Instead of going back to the bedside and helping on the front lines in that way, I've been information sharing, connecting people with other people so that just like you, right, we can get the word out to people that there are ways to educate and empower themselves to safely get through this situation that we're in right now.
And I think that's really important. I one of my little status updates today was about there's a lot of people who are very afraid right now, and that fear is natural and normal because this is unknown.
Yes.
The magnitude of it isn't known. And on top of that, it's invisible. It's not something you can see. You know, you can't send an army against it. It's just out there. And so it's very frightening to people. And I think that's a normal reaction in the human brain. And the more information we can get out there, the better we can tamp down that fear response and try and help people stay calm.
Yes, I would disagree with you on one point, though.
What's that?
We can absolutely send an army out there. We are the army. Every single solitary one of us is a member of the army. Everybody knows somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody. So all we need to do is first honor the fear, like you said, because it's real. And once we experienced and processed our emotions about how we feel about this situation, because it is unprecedented in anyone's lifetime, is we can find our link in the chain. We can find what we can offer, whether it's doing what you're doing right now, or doing what I've been doing, or being a driver for people, or helping to set things up. And you and I are going to talk a little more about that. But the first thing, right, that we need to all remember while we're looking for where our link in the chain is, because each one of us is the equal strength of a link in the chain. Each one of us, we can remind ourselves frequently to stay calm. This is going to be what it's going to be. And worrying about it drains the immune system. It makes us less effective in being that link in the chain. And it draws our focus away from being in the moment and handling now.
Yeah, and I would agree with you 100% on that.
The army, yeah. My friend. We can do this.
Oh, yeah. I've said it over and over to people. This is us. We can do this. I can't do it alone. You can't. We can. And we can get through this, and it is all about finding a place. And we'll get back to that driving out to help people, because it's something I've got some experience with, and you and I can talk about that. I think one of the other worries that people have is right now there's so many people not working. And it's a big fear for people.
Yes, understandably, yes.
You know, So I think that
part of this experience that we're having is really a call to arms to rethink how we share the wealth in this society, how we can earn our money and make certain that our basic needs of food and shelter and community are taken care of.
Oh, absolutely. Because we're going to, and I had this conversation with Greg Haley last night. Mm-hmm. We're going to come out the other side of this. And we're going to have to fundamentally rethink a lot of that, because we need to, and we're starting to see it here in Buffalo, in mutual aid networks, come out of this understanding there's a lot of people that are going to be very worried about keeping the lights on and putting food on the table. And we've kind of got to rethink how we do things to make sure that everybody can keep food on the table, that everybody can keep a roof over their head, that they can have housing and shelter and the fundamentals of a basic and decent life. We're going to have to rethink that.
Right. And some of the governors are really stepping up. I've been listening to the news a lot, and the governors themselves, and, you know, then it goes down the food chain to the mayors and the local town council and stuff like that. So people need to check in with what the governor of their state is saying. A lot of them are having daily briefings themselves. And several governors have already called for the fact that utility companies are not cutting people off for inability to pay, even people that are past due from the whole winter or something, right? Because the annual cutoff date is coming up. They can't legally cut your heat off in December or anything like that. They'll come somewhere around the middle of March, they can, because you won't freeze to death. Well, they're putting a freeze on that. They're a hold on that.
Yeah, I live in New York, and I'm loving living in New York right now with Governor Cuomo.
Oh, I know. He's like my new imaginary best friend, man. I watch him every day updates on how brilliantly he is handling this whole thing.
I mean, there are no utility shutoffs allowed in this state. And he put a moratorium on mortgage payments.
Yes,
and just looked at the banks and said, too bad. You know?
And people cannot be evicted right now.
No, no, not at all. Nowhere in the state of New York.
So people need to check in with their, you know, what their state governors are saying, because I think that's going to have to become a nationwide thing so that everybody can stop adding what am I going to do about money to their list of what am I going to do about this, and focus on just what can I do to help with this.
Yeah. So here's my next question as we talk about mutual aid.
Mm-hmm.
Most every state has a stay in the home order going on. There are people, and I happen to be one of them here in Buffalo, and there's more than just me. There are people that are out there doing grocery and pharmacy runs for the vulnerable populations, the over 70s, cancer patients, transplant patients, immune compromised people. You've seen pictures of how I'm dressed when I'm out and what I do, but talk about it from your standpoint as a nurse in that going out to do a grocery or pharmacy run if somebody has to and coming back in right now.
How to dress safely to protect yourself with
right,
what you're doing?
And then what to do when they get back in the door.
Okay. First of all, let me find this one thing. Someone had a really brilliant post today about, I don't know that this is a universal thing yet, but it was really amazing about putting different color ribbons in our cars.
Really?
So that you can identify if you are a healthcare worker or a part of the police department, first responders, or if you are doing grocery store runs for people, or if you're a minister that's out and about, because a lot of people, right, they have homebound needs for their ministry and stuff like that. So I'll have to see if I can find that and post it, because I came across it and I didn't bookmark it.
Okay.
But what people can do for themselves to stay safe, and this is really an awesome one, because there is a lot you can do to support yourself. And to feel like that you are managing your safety while you're out and about. And so the thing is to bring a bottle of hand sanitizer with you. This is how nurses think. Let's start there. This is how nurses think when we're taking care of just regular highly infectious patients at the hospital, right? Because we have antibiotic resistant patients with highly infectious diseases, tuberculosis and stuff like that. So we already have this whole actual protocol in place for how to go from being in the room with the patient, which we consider the, you know, infected area, even though we're wearing all the PPE, right, all the personal protection equipment, and then what we do in the antechamber of the room so that we can come out of the room and technically be clean instead of infected, so that we are not bringing the infection out with us to the rest of the hospital population, because, you know, we might have very vulnerable patients in the ICU in beds right next door, and we need to, you know, be cognizant of how we address everything. So the way that we always think of it is that, you know, your equipment to help keep you safe would be a bottle of hand sanitizer. Okay. And some tissues. There was a great piece the other day, or you can use cloth. You know, we're going to run out of tissues at some point probably. And so, you know, you have old t-shirts and stuff you can cut up, and these can be your rags and handles and stuff like that if you don't want to wear gloves or whatever. So you can open doors with them. So you can push elevator buttons with them. So you can touch for people that are traveling, especially in public transportation, you can, you know, hang on to the side of the holder on the train or whatever with them, with these cloths or rags, so that you are not spreading. And depending on if you're right or left-handed, the outfit that you're wearing, and we need to rethink our fashion. We need to start wearing things with fanny packs and lots of pockets and stuff like that, so that, you know, we don't want to have a purse that we're setting down, or, you know, a bunch of stuff in our pockets that might fall out. We want to have some way that we carry all of our things routinely. And this is something that I do in the hospital, is I'm right-handed. So my right-hand pockets are all the stuff that I'm going to need to use, you know, my phone, my pen, my whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my left-hand pocket, anything that would get infected, so like my hand sanitizer, stuff like that, things that I'm going to grab, my left-hand pocket are my personal items. the things that I want to keep clean. So if I want tissues that I'm going to blow my nose with, right, first I reach into my right-hand pocket, get my hand sanitizer, rub my hands good with the sanitizer, rub the bottle with the sanitizer before I put it back in my pocket. And then I can go in my left pocket and get my tissue or my lip balm or something that is vital to me that I would be using, but it's a personal item.
Yeah. Okay.
Then, yeah, so things like that. Wearing clothes that cover us, because there are statements being made about how, right, this virus is transmitted at this moment. They're saying that it's still a droplet transmission, which means that when people cough or sneeze, right, little microscopic, I think they're like 5 microns in size or so, tiny little droplets come out, right? We can't help it. Mm-hmm. So we're encouraging people, right, to sneeze into their elbow or their shoulder, not into their hands, but to sneeze into the side of their sleeve. But these little droplets come out, and they land on surfaces, inanimate objects. They're called fovites, the inanimate objects. Doesn't matter. Any inanimate object, stuff can land on it. And this virus is very, it's very virulent. It's very, it lasts for a long time. So somebody came by yesterday and sneezed on this thing you're taking off the grocery store shelf. Technically, those virus droplets are still there, and you could accidentally infect yourself without even realizing it. So that's what the frequent hand sanitizer is for. And it's not to say you should, like, you know, become an insane germaphobe and freak out and stuff like that, because this is just what we're dealing with. And again, nurses deal with this all the time. So you just have to be aware. So in dressing ourselves, we can cover our hair. And we can wear long sleeves, and we can have a pocket up near the top of our shirt where we put, like, important stuff like our grocery list or stuff like that, so we can tuck it back in so we're not setting it down all over the place. Mm-hmm. We went to the store the other day to finish up with some of our supply gathering, and one of the things that we did was we actually had a bandana. Not around our face, like, you know, Jesse James or something like that. And I'm not.
Yeah, that's what I wear.
Right? Well, yeah. you're coming in a much greater, more concentrated contact with people.
Yeah.
Because you're traveling around a lot. So you and healthcare workers, right, those guys all have different needs.
Yeah.
But for the average person who's supposed to, right, we all really, really need, as much as it might be making some folks that are more extroverted crazy, we super 100% need to stay home as much as possible.
Oh, absolutely.
We really need to respect these rules and let the people that need to be out on the streets, like you, like healthcare workers going to work, like delivery drivers and truckers and so on, like, they need to be out on the streets, but in as little contact with other people as possible.
Yeah, well, you know me.
Respectful of that.
You know me, I have a kip look. It tends to back people up a lot more than 6 foot.
Right, well, then we were joking about that now we can all wear our crazy Halloween costumes, and that'll, like, give everybody a wide berth from everybody.
So, but yeah, back to what you were saying, that handkerchief, yeah.
Right, yeah, the handkerchief. Yeah. So we just had them like scarves, right, like a little neckerchief. So and I had a baseball cap on, so that if somebody was coughing or sneezing, because there were people coughing and sneezing in the store, and this virus is very sneaky. So people cough or sneeze, and they don't even realize they did it. They think it's their seasonal allergies. They think something irritated them, and they don't recognize that they could potentially be spreading infection without even meaning to, right? Like, not everybody's being a jerk. People just don't mean to.
Yeah.
And so to have a baseball cap, if someone is coughing or sneezing in your direction, you can kind of turn your head and use the bill of the cap, right, to sort of just create a barrier space.
Yep.
Glasses help. Those of us that wear glasses or sunglasses, you know, things like that, can help as an eye protection. And then this bandana kind of deal, right? You just have a little scarf. A couple of times I kind of turtled my head into it, and I had put some essential oils on it. So it offered another extra barrier of protection that I was then just sort of breathing in these essential oils as I was going past groups of people that were congregating together, or somebody was coughing or something like that, so that I didn't feel anxious.
Yeah.
Right? And to be respectful at the checkout line, right? We were standing back and waiting our turn. We weren't crowding anybody or anything like that. And so, because it really, space matters. It sounds so silly right now, and especially since we really haven't hit the experience of this yet, right? It's still building for us. But you call Italy, and just get them on the phone, and you will find out that, right, things are going to get intense. So we need to support and protect ourselves. Everything we can do to ensure our own safety takes the stress off the frontline workers.
Mm-hmm. And the less of us have to walk into that hospital, because we're taking precautions, the less stress on our frontline workers that are going to have to deal with the wave that's coming.
Right, because it is coming, and there's nothing we can do about it, the wave, but there's a lot we can do to bring ourselves protection and safety, because if we get a mild or a moderate version of this, seriously, we can self-quarantine at home and care for ourselves at home, right? We're still going to get sick, but we're not going to get, I need the ICU sick, and we can hopefully then develop a natural herd immunity, right? If everybody gets this and develops antibodies to it, it will help to decrease any, you know, wave that's coming. And it will help to kind of build a bridge while the Western Medical Society is coming up with treatments and vaccines and so forth.
Yeah, and I don't think that people have fully grasped yet the entire vaccine process. That there
is it's a very long one. They're doing their best to move it along as fast as possible.
They're moving as fast as they can, but it's still, at best, a year, you know, and that's the figure I'm hearing.
That's at the very outside level, but really it's more like 18 months. It's usually a vaccine takes 3 to 5 years to develop.
Yeah.
Because the situation is not if they find the vaccine, the thing that blocks the disease and causes us to develop antibodies to it without getting the disease.
Right.
It's the fact that the vaccine is safe for people to take, right? Like if we want to look back at what happened with thalidomide in the 60s,
mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
That was deemed to be perfectly safe, right? And they didn't discover until it was too late that it actually did cause very severe lifelong birth defects in the unborn children, even though it was completely safe for the mothers to take.
Yeah.
Because they didn't do their due diligence and spend the amount of time that is needed to make sure a vaccine is safe for everybody.
Right. And that's where we're at is this is, and again, people are learning as they go, but there's so much misinformation out there, and you're data and science like I'm data and science, and
mm-hmm.
It's called a novel coronavirus because it's brand new to the human species. It's never been seen. There isn't group immunity, and so everyone's working as fast as they can.
Yes,
but we're still a long ways off from a true vaccine. You can't just take another vaccine off the shelf and retool it with new headlights.
No, you cannot. And I've been reading some fantastic information from all around the world, right? And they're having some beginning success with some, what we call in the Western Medical Society, drug cocktails, meaning it's several medications together that support, you know, what they're trying to achieve.
In Australia. Like people take for HIV right now?
Yeah, there's a few. There are some scientists in Australia that have reporting some limited success and awareness. There are also some in India, France and Germany are on, you know, we're all working together on this. So they will come up with something eventually. I have faith in them. But in the meantime, they need all of us. This is where we become the army. They need all of us to do the best that we can to what's called mitigate or minimize symptoms and minimize, right, the spread of the contagion so that they have the time to do what they do best.
Yep, that was my job in another industry in an entirely unrelated type of situation was risk assessment and threat mitigation. What barriers do we have to put in place to make sure a particular thing doesn't happen?
Right. And so, you know, social distancing and washing our hands is not going to magically make this go away, but it can definitely slow down everything so that Western medicine has time to figure out what they need to figure out.
So glad I'm talking to you tonight because you just spurred something in my brain. And that was in our mitigation process, we used the Swiss cheese model. And that was, we had 8 slices of Swiss cheese, 8 different levels of mitigation barriers in place. And what we were trying to do was keep all the holes in the Swiss cheese from lining up. That's why we had different levels of mitigation. different
bands. Yes. Yeah.
So,
yes, exactly what we are trying to do, and it takes every single solitary one of us, every one of us. Just mm-hmm. like I keep thinking of, like, you know, Horton Hears a Who, where they're all the little Whovians are yelling and trying, "We are here, we are here," and they finally get that one last person who wasn't yelling. They had all of them, every single one yelling, and that one last person pushed it over the top.
Yep. And so that, absolutely, and that's what I'm thinking, because social distancing is one barrier. Yeah, hand washing is another barrier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we talk about, and that's actually a really, wow, I had not thought about that for this week, but that model we used is, I think that's a good analogy for people. All these different barriers, hand washing, social distancing. And we're going to talk about something here in a second, and that's the process when you walk back in the house from shopping.
Mm-hmm. I have a story to share first. I have a really quick story to share about the real-life Swiss cheese model.
Okay, go ahead.
We were moving one time, and we used to have this beautiful upright piano that, you know, I grew up with and stuff like that. So the professional piano movers, right, but they got to move this baby up two flights of stairs to our apartment. And so there's these four, you know, big guys trying to do this, and they're trying to get this piano up the stairs, and they can't quite make it.
Oh, God.
My partner, Casey, was standing right there, and, you know, but there's no more room to stand on either side of where they were. These guys in the piano were taking up the whole stair hall.
Yeah.
And they said, "Help us." And he looked at them for a second, and then he literally just put his hand on the back of the closest guy and gently pushed him, just one-handed, gently gave him support, and the whole thing went up the stairs and into the apartment like no big deal.
Yep. That one last little piece made it happen.
Yeah. And so that's why we are all the army together.
Yep, absolutely. And so what we were talking about is, you guys had been out. You were wearing a baseball cap, glasses, and a neckerchief. Wow, were you guys wearing gloves while you were out?
We were not. We were not.
Now, in my case, I wear single-use gloves, but it's because I'm dropping groceries or pharmacy items off. And then there is a particular way to take off single-use gloves, folks.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. And we're not going to go into that here, but there are videos of it on YouTube. There's a way there's a way to do that. But anyhow, so you walked back in the house, and you and I were talking earlier about walking back in the house.
Yes, and so there's a very particular way to move yourself from to think about it as from the dirty area or the potentially, you know, virus area of your house to the clean area of your house. So I wrote this out on my Facebook page. And I'm going to post everything again that we're talking about that I have shared with people at the top of my Facebook page so they don't have to go rummaging. And I'm making everything public so people can just go there and look at it. They don't have to follow me or become Facebook
friends. Right, yeah. You've seen most of mine. They're all public. You know, the things that I'm putting up.
Yeah. So I'm going to kind of just read what I wrote because then I'll make sure to cover the whole topic.
Yeah.
Okay, so the following are basic ways nurses in the hospital think about the order of operations. So really you think about it like a math problem, okay? Order of operations. From dirty to clean areas when caring for patients who are quarantined in negative pressure rooms like TB patients and stuff like that. COVID-19 has been shown to live on fomites, inanimate objects, on non-porous things like hard surfaces, cell phones, countertops, cans that we buy at the store, stuff like that. It can live, they feel, as long as 9 days. So that's a long time.
It's a really long time, folks.
Yeah, if someone a week ago walked through this area not realizing that they actually were infectious because their symptoms were very low or non-existent, they could have accidentally spread this virus to this can that you now take off the shelf or to this shopping cart handle that you're now touching. So we need to think about these things when we get home. On porous surfaces like fabric and cardboard, they're staying up to 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So things like your mail, things that, you know, packages that you get from Amazon, and they were addressing that. The CEO of Amazon was interviewed earlier today on CNN and how they're definitely taking very big safety precautions at work to make, you know, checking temperatures with people and packing things very carefully and so forth to make sure that they're not contributing to the spread of anything. But we need to be aware of this. And
I let my mail sit a day right now, and the Amazon package sits a day.
Yes, and we're going to talk about that. So when you come into the entryway of your home, whether it's your apartment or your house, when you come into your entryway, you should have a little setup going on in your entryway. So you need a plastic laundry basket or a plastic bin. We actually have both. We have a laundry basket for the clothes, and then we have a bin for everything else that we bring in, stuff from the grocery store or mail that we're bringing in, stuff like that, goes into this large tote.
Mm-hmm.
And your clothes immediately, you strip them all off, shoes, everything, the minute you walk in the door, and it goes into this laundry basket. Also have like a table area, so you can have a bottle of spray cleaner or a container of cleaning wipes, whatever your preference is. And there's some great recipes online for people who are allergic to or sensitive to chemical cleaning products or want to make their own at home, so that you can make your own credible things. And I'm going to share with you also, the American Herbalist Guild has a great webpage with a lot of recipes and stuff. Mm-hmm. Everything's for free. You don't have to be a member of the guild. And there's a lot of downloadable PDFs, so mm-hmm. people can figure out how to do these things safely at home, how to do these things safely at work for the people that still have to go to work. So you have your spray bottle or cleaning wipes. You have another bottle of hand sanitizer if your sink is not right near your front door, which many people's is not, so you can wash your hands immediately. Using hand sanitizer has been shown to be significantly effective, but not as effective as hand washing. So to use the hand sanitizer just so that, you know, you've done some good cleaning of your hands before you proceed on with the rest of this process.
Mm-hmm.
So make a practice. Take off your shoes, take off your clothes, take off your coat. If it's not washable, your coat, have like a chair or something that you can drape it over so you're not just dropping it on the ground. If you have your purse or something like that that you brought with you, you can hang your purse there because you're going to want to wipe that down. And we also have a little bin so that we can take everything out of our pockets and put it into the bin. Because I don't believe they specifically cultured COVID-19 off of it, but things like debit cards that we put in the machine, right? And we've just been at the store, and we might have micro droplets on our hands. And your hand doesn't even have to be damp for you to have these micro droplets on your hand. That's the thing we have to think about. So a little basket or a little bucket. And again, we've just been using plastic because it's real easy to clean it and wipe it off and spray it down. And so all your debit card, everything like that goes in there, and that's where the shirt pocket comes in handy, because then you can put your debit card and stuff in your shirt pocket instead of back in your wallet.
Yeah.
Right? All your change goes in there, your money goes in there, the bottle of hand sanitizer you use at the store, every single thing that's in your pockets goes into that bucket. So, you are now naked.
Which bothers me how much?
Right, exactly. Yeah. But this is a new experience for some people, right? So, you're right, they don't know, a lot of people aren't comfortable walking around their home naked in front of their other people that live at home, or even by themselves. It's just not their thing. So they're going to have
putting
to think
pants on to go outside right now is one of those, oh, damn, I got to put pants on.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and then you've got your other bucket, your other bin, and it should be a large one. So you can put, like, your mail in there. Your packages in there, any groceries that you got, put them right in there. We've been using cloth bags so that we can wash them, you know, every time we use them, when they go in the washer with the clothes. But everything that's potentially might have virus on it goes into that bin. And you can have two separate bins. So one is for your cardboard, your mail and stuff like that, and the other is for your groceries or however it works for you.
Mm-hmm.
But to have these bins. So you are now naked. And the next thing you want to do is go directly to the sink and wash your hands.
Yeah.
So you now can touch your face, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then, right, and before you wash your hands, take off your glasses. Because people adjust their glasses while they're out. Those of us that wear glasses, we're not even thinking, we're adjusting our glasses. So we have to remember that our glasses might have microvirus on them, right? So everything has to go in by this area where all the dirty stuff is that you're going to clean. But first you're going to clean yourself. So you go wash your hand, and you wash your face. I'm a nurse, so I've been singing Happy Birthday twice to myself for 30 years. I don't mind it at all, but people are coming up with different songs. So pick whatever thing works for you that you like to sing or hum to yourself, because it really does give you an awareness of how long you are washing.
Well, I have found that the live version of Whipping Post from the 1972 Fillmore East, that one does take a while. That's like 24 minutes worth of washing. So
yeah, that somebody posted a meme about the only song you know is Tool, and their hands were like completely devastated. And there's a thing about hand washing too, right? Yeah. This is actually the first nursing students have to learn an awful lot of things before they're even allowed in the hospital. And they have to first they learn about it, the theory of it, then they practice it, and then they actually have to do a return demonstration, it's called, and mm-hmm. do it for an instructor and do it properly and pass the return demonstration before they are allowed to go and even be a nursing student in the hospital for the first time. And the very first thing that we actually have to learn is how to properly wash your hands. And there's a great video on YouTube. I think, again, I posted it on my Facebook page, so I'm going to try and find it and put it near the top. Someone put on a pair of rubber gloves and then took a colored, like something they mix with food coloring, soap and food coloring, uh-huh. so that they could show you exactly how thoroughly you need to wash your hands to cover all surfaces.
Yeah.
Because most people, right, we're used to just washing our palms, and maybe we, you know, wring our hands a couple of times and we call it good. And in most instances, it would be good. But we are living in different times now. So we really do need to take that 20 seconds and wash our palms, interlock our fingers both together, and then one palm on top of the other back of the hand. So that gets the whole hand. Your thumb is a separate item than your fingers. A lot of people forget the thumb. Scrubbing your nails a little bit on your palm and rubbing the heels of your hands together, because even this video is really great. It shows this, that mm-hmm. the medium that the guy's using is dark and the gloves are white, so you can see where the white spots still are as he's going through this process. And then to take your fingers like a circle around your wrists. And that covers your entire hand. And it really does only take about 20 seconds to do, but it's a very specific way to do it.
Okay.
And we're not just doing this for ourselves, right? We're doing this for every single person we know and for people we don't know. If we infect ourselves and we accidentally infect the people that we live with or the people that we come in contact with, or and then they infect somebody and so forth, you literally could accidentally, without meaning to, be killing someone's grandma or child.
Right. And that's
without being dramatic, that's absolutely the truth of what could happen.
That's just a fact. And,
yeah.
And it's about all of us changing our behavior.
Right. Yeah. We have to, right now, this is a call to arms, not just to all be one tribe and work together, but it's also a call to arms to remember that literally everything we do affects people we don't even know.
Right. And I keep saying it and saying it and saying it ad nauseum on my Facebook page and on this radio show. We are all in this together, and we are only as strong as our weakest link. And it is
right?
going to take absolutely all of us to do this. So,
yes.
So speaking about that, all of us, I know you're involved with the American Herbalist Guild, and I'm going to say this very clearly before we go into this. This is not a substitute for Western medicine, but it's a supplement too.
Yes, and I want to talk about that in a minute, but we're not clean yet, my friend.
Okay.
We're not in the house yet.
We're naked and our hands are washed.
Naked and our hands are washed,
okay.
Which means we can now safely touch things.
Yeah.
But we should not sit on them yet. So if we can, we definitely need to wash your face. That's just a must. You must wash your face after you've gotten your hands clean.
Okay.
If possible, if you've been out for a long time, if you are just worried or one of the high-risk group or something like that, right? My partner and I are both older. I'm in my 50s. He's in his 60s. I've had a stroke and high blood pressure. He has had asthma since he was a kid. So we're a higher risk group. So the next thing that we actually do is we go take a shower.
Yeah.
Right? Because your hair and other parts of your body, and maybe you were leaning up against something or whatever. So you go take a shower.
I get that. I might act 35, but I'm 62.
I know. You make it look so good, my friend. So now we can go sit on things and walk around the house and put on our clean indoor clothes.
Mm-hmm.
But we still have all the things we left by the door to deal with.
Yes.
So, and for people that, again, are really concerned about germs, you can use gloves. We do have a box of gloves. I use them for first aid and stuff like that as well. Mm-hmm. But we don't want to use up all the gloves either, right? Because the front line needs all the supplies they can get.
Right.
So I really try to avoid using them if I can help it. So now I go back to my area that's considered to be dirty, right? I've got my shoes, I've got my clothes in the basket, I've got my groceries in my mail and stuff like that. And I actually still do this naked because then I can just go rinse off again.
Yeah.
Right? So you take your little spray bottle and you want to spray the whole area, the floor around your door, the door handle, everything like that. And experts are actually recommending that you spray those areas twice a day because we don't live in hermetically sealed bubbles, right? Air gets into our house.
Yep.
And again, I don't want to make everybody paranoid that every single breath we take is infected or something like that. But the reality is we don't know. So just like in the hospital, it's just better safe than sorry. You know, a few extra seconds to spray stuff and consciously think about your order of operations. Mm-hmm. So now we've sprayed our area around our door and or wiped it down. And the way that those spray cleaners and wipes work is that they have to stay on an area for 2 minutes. The area has to be visibly damp for 2 minutes in order for them to work. So people, like on the TV commercial, right? A TV commercial is not 2 minutes long, but, you know, they spray their countertop and this will help your family not get a cold, and then they wipe it down immediately. That's not scientifically proven to be the way to do that.
Okay.
So you spray the area and, you know, be cognizant also, like, all right, I have balance issues because I had a stroke. So I have to make sure to walk very slowly and very deliberately because I don't want to fall down on top of all this jazz and end up needing to go to the ER because I broke something.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And these are just things we have to think about right now. So you spray the whole the floor and all that jazz. And then you can take, while you're waiting for that to dry, you can take your basket with your clothes in it. If you're fortunate enough to have a washer and dryer on site of your home, and I get that not everybody is. So if you're fortunate enough to have a washer and dryer, go directly to your washer, open it up, put everything in. Then wash your hands. Then you can touch your soap and close your dryer, washer lid, and start your machine because now your hands are clean again.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have a washer and dryer on site, you should immediately put those clothes into a plastic bag, right? A big garbage bag or whatever, a big trash bag. These are things that you're going to use. Or if you have a tote and it has a lid on it, do it that way, you know, so that you're recycling and you're not having to run out of plastic bags and buy more. Whatever works for you. All right? You also want to spray your shoes, the bottoms, the tops, the sides, everything. And this takes a lot of time, and it's kind of annoying. I get that. We went to the store the other day, and, I mean, it took, like 2 hours to get home from the store because I also had to spray down. The next thing you're going to do, right, is spray down literally all your groceries.
Yeah.
You're going to wipe your cans and say, you know, you got to spray everything, let it sit. So that's what the plastic tote is nice for, because you can just kind of put it in the tote, spray the crap out of everything, and let it sit for 2 minutes, and then you can take a towel, and you can wipe it all down. And while you're doing this, you can't touch anything else unless you wash your hands first.
Mm-hmm.
And once you've, you know, wiped stuff off and set it, we designated yesterday which area of the counter everything was going to sit on so that I could spray that down when I was done.
Okay.
And yeah, and then you that towel goes in with the rest of the laundry that you're going to wash. And then you wash your hands again, and now you can put your groceries away. And like you said, and I've been doing, I just let my mail sit for 24 hours.
Yep.
I let my packages sit for 24 hours. There were a few things where I was like, oh, good, it's here. I need to open this. So I did actually, like, spray the cardboard box down and wait for a while and then open it. And then I sprayed down everything in the box.
Yeah.
So it's a very significant process that takes a long amount of time. Mm-hmm. But it can also be very meditative, right? I mean, what else do we have to do right now? We're not running out to that meeting we have to get to. We're not trying to race and get our kids to ballet class, right?
Nope.
We're not running off to pick up the dry cleaning or anything. So it's a new way of thinking about our lives as a whole, but we really don't have anything else to do right now.
Right. I mean, this is we got time.
Right?
Of course,
right,
what I'm finding after this last week is there was a lot of people that always said, man, if I just had the time to deep clean, or man, if I just had the time, these are the books I'd get to. And
yeah.
I just keep looking and going, now is your chance.
Right,
because, and I've had a week to rest. Now's your chance.
Yes, I've been talking with people about that too. That people have been having like online, you know, book clubs together and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, people are doing that. There's an extension on Google, so you can do Netflix watch parties together.
Oh, neat!
Yes, they have opened up Zoom so that you can. It's a free teleconferencing app, and people are getting together that way, and there's so many bands and musicians that are doing live streams right now.
Yes.
Because of course they're not working, they're not out in bars and restaurants and nightclubs, they can't be, but they're still going live stream and opening up a tip jar. And I mean we're learning some fundamentally different things about our culture and how to operate in a different way. And it's some of it is kind of cool.
Yeah. Yes. And it's kind of funny that in order to all become more connected, we had to actually all self-isolate.
Right. We had to go to the, no, there is no chance of physically getting together with somebody. We are 6 foot separated, and everybody is finding out in a hurry how much we need one another and how interdependent we are.
Right? Like we used to sit at restaurant tables and everybody was on their phone.
You know what? And I have faith in people. People are basically good. And I'm really thinking that when this is over, you're not going to be seeing a lot of that, because people are going to be so grateful to be in the physical presence of one another. It's going to be like, oh, hell no, leave that phone out in the car.
Right? Yeah. I think so too. Yeah. I think so too. This is going to rethink the retool the way we think of everything.
Yeah.
So the next question you asked me was, yeah, about the AHG, the American Herbalist Guild webpage.
You talked to me about the American Herbalists. Yeah, let's talk about them for a second.
Okay, this was a really neat happenstance that just occurred the other night, and we've already reached millions of people I lost track of it after three continents and five or six countries, but it's going around. The herbalists and the alternative practitioners and the TCM, traditional Chinese medicine crowd, have all been following this, right, since it first started happening in China, and sharing theories and reading everything we can get our hands on, from patient reports to autopsies to lab results to CT results, and, you know, sharing. There's a couple of wonderful herbalists that really do a lot of, like, historical research. So they've been going in, like, a deep dive to the past, to various other pandemics and what people used hundreds of years ago. One of them went all the way back to the 1300s, man, and really, like, made this awesome, wrote a paper and found things that are available in today's herbal medicine toolbox. So, and again, like you already said, this is not a substitute for Western medicine. I'm not asking anybody to, you know, stop taking their heart medicine or do anything like that. And like the historical research that was done, that's historical and traditional research. These are all anecdotal human clinical trials.
Right. This is a supplement to whatever else. Yeah.
Right. Right, and the point that all of the herbalists are trying to make is not that we're going to have the magic bullet that saves the world, but that there are ways that are backed up by modern science, because nutrition and vitamins are real. Mm-hmm. There are ways that we can help to support ourselves in order to, again, slow down the intensity and the spread of things while Western medicine goes through the time and the clinical trials that it takes to find the medications that actually work, to find the vaccine that will actually support people in the long haul.
Yeah. So where would people find that web page, Cricket?
It is, and I'm going to put this link also on my Facebook page. It is on the main American Herbalist Guild page. Let me go to their homepage so I can find the exact steps on how to get this. Because, okay, there's, when you go to the American Herbalists Guild.com, it's all one word, and herbalists has an S, American Herbalists Guild.com, and you go to their homepage, there's all sorts of information, but on the bottom of the main menu, right, there's a main menu at the top, and on the left hand side is a thing that says COVID-19 resources.
Mm-hmm.
And you click on it, and it gives you, you go straight to the link. You don't have to belong to the Herbalist Guild. You don't have to pay any money. All of this is free. Anybody can view it. There are downloadable PDFs so that you can pull this information into your life.
So everybody took their paywalls down?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Their paywalls are down, and you don't have to be a member of the guild to see this. It's for the public. Mm-hmm. The executive director of the American Herbalist Guild, Mimi Hernandez, updates this every single day, and she states, it says it right at the top of what day it was updated. So it mm-hmm. says right there, updated March 23rd, 2020. And it has a table of contents with general articles, public health, sections from the CDC and from the WHO, the World Health Organization, which, by the way, if people don't know, the World Health Organization is kind of like the United Nations for worldwide healthcare. They've been around since 1948. And they are actually the gold standard for medical care around the world. Every year when nurses and doctors have to update and recertify various credentials in their area of expertise, the protocols are set by the WHO. And we have to read the articles and take the little tests online and do all the stuff. And it's put out there by the WHO so that there's a worldwide resource and everybody's on the same page.
Okay.
Yeah, so they are really important. You never hear from them, right? The medical community, like, almost never hijacks the world stage like this. We kind of keep it under wraps. There's stuff that goes down that people really aren't aware of because epidemics are contained before they become this big.
Yeah.
This time, right, stuff happens. This yeah. happened this time. So now we're all learning who the WHO is and that they're mm-hmm. huge rock stars and we love them. So there's a section from the WHO, and there's notes from various herbalists with links to their compendium works, that all the things we've been talking about for months and months with each other, because there were coronaviruses in the world before there was this coronavirus. So we share all kinds of influenza and cold and winter health stuff with each other. There is a section on bioregionalism, so what's going on in your area. There is a section of recipes, so simple things that you can make at home for yourself. You don't have to be a highly, you know, touted herbalist to do these things or have crazy, you know, access to all kinds of herbs that nobody's ever heard of before. These are very simple. The basic person can do these at home. There's a section on mental health because this is very stressful. There's a section on coping with kids because that also is a big thing for people right now, right? I happen to homeschool my kids, so this to me would be like, oh, hey, homeschool day. But I get that, like, the entire world was told you have to homeschool your kids starting now.
Go. Oh, teachers are so badass. In 24 hours, teachers had to take an entire paradigm and come up with a new one. And they went,
right?
Okay, we did it.
Right? They're amazing. People are really amazing, and they're really, really hanging in there. So there's a lot of things about, in the coping with your kids section, there's talking with children about COVID-19, a parent's resource. Mm-hmm. And then there's an ebook PDF, Coping After a Disaster.
Yeah.
There is Talking to Kids About COVID-19 by Aviva Ram, who is an herbalist and a medical doctor.
Uh-huh.
And then there's herbal activities to do with your kids. So herbalists are coming together and sharing because there are those of us that teach specifically, okay, like I do, herbal classes to kids.
Right.
And so there's all kinds of resources and links that you can find out in there.
And I'm gonna put something in here because you said that the paywall is down and anybody can access this. For anybody that is a friend of Crickets and is hearing this, listening to it, this show is actually, I did it for 8 years. It was a music show once a week. And this demanded that I do something a little different. So this is on the air every night right now with different people, different resources. It's free. All the paywalls are down. I want this to be a source of communication and information. So you'll hear after this interview is over all the different services on how to find it and the fact that I want it to be for you and you all, you know, so.
Right, yeah. Right. And that's how the herbalists feel too, is that we really want everything to be. So various herbalists, there are a lot of different ones on Facebook that people that can join their group, you know, their students and stuff like that. But their information is also, we're trying to get everybody in the same place.
Yeah.
So that someone, especially someone who's new to natural health and wellness, can access one place and read the same thing over and over again by different herbalists, and then they can go to that person's page on Facebook, because like I said, most of them, like Stephen Buhner and Matthew Wood and Seven Song and Sam Kaufman and Stephanie Hofelt and Phyllis Light, and right, there's so many, have a whole bunch of stuff that they're putting together for their own students, but they're also sharing it here.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. So what, here's my question. And we've talked about a lot of things, and it's just been wonderful the amount of information you're putting out. What can the average person do beyond what we've talked about with taking care of themselves to be a good member of the herd? Are there other things they can do?
There are a million things people can do. We are only limited by our imagination, and we each have something to offer, a link in the chain, and without all the links, right, the chain does not hold.
Yeah.
As a prime example, this exact webpage that we're just talking about right now, the other day, it was a couple days ago now, I was talking with a few people online, and, you know, we were discussing various herbal protocols and so forth on somebody's page. And this one woman reached out to me. We have not met in person. She's in Washington State, and we are now, like, new best friends. But she reached out to me, and she said, can I send you something? This is, like, a protocol that I put together for, she put together some stuff for her family, just like we were talking about, how to stay safe, how to recognize symptoms, what you can do to support your immune system at home with vitamins and nutrition and stuff like that. So she sent it to me, and it was amazing. It already had all of these, like, links to the different herbalists I just mentioned and a whole outline and a table of contents, and it was incredible. And it suddenly occurred to me that we should put this all in one place. So I contacted the head of the American Herbalist Group. I contacted my friend Mimi, and I said, hey, you probably already thought of this, but here's the thing, and I have this information from this woman. You know, we all need to be in one place, and it's the American Herbalist Group putting together a page, and I send you this to add to it. I put my 2 cents into it, and now I want it, you know, so you can have more information up. And she said, yes, actually I am, but I have a problem. My whole office staff is out. Some of them were self-quarantining. The person that did all of the computer running of the website, the webpage and everything like that, was home for a completely unrelated reason. Her mother had passed away, not because of the virus. And so this woman was obviously very busy doing what you do when your mother passes away. So she was in no way able to run this webpage. And Mimi was, right, understandably, wanted to get this out as soon as possible, but she was kind of at a stopping point because she didn't have what she needed to move forward. I don't know anything about computers, right? I need help attaching a picture to an email, for goodness sake. But I said, tell me what you need. So she sent me a blurb that I didn't understand at all, and the file, right, that had the computer script and stuff like that. So I thought, well, I know some computer people. Let's find out about this. So I asked my partner, right, and it was a different computer language or whatever than Casey Reed. So he's like, no, I can't do that, this one, I'm sorry, which was fine. No is a perfectly acceptable answer. So I moved on to the next person, my daughter's boyfriend, and I read him what she needed, and he said, well, that's not what I do either, but let me call her out. And then I moved on to the third person I know, somebody from our Chicago tribe, and I called him, and I read it to him. So it's only been like 5 minutes, right, that I've done it. I called him, and he said, I don't do that either, but you know who does do this exact thing? My friend Ari, who is another young man from the Chicago tribe that we grew up with. But I didn't have Ari's phone number. So Kyle gave me Ari's contact information. I called him. I told him what I needed, and because his mom is herbalist Althea Northajor, he understood immediately how important this was. So he called Mimi. Right? We don't need me in the middle of this chain anymore. This chain now has its links.
Yeah.
He called Mimi, and within an hour, they had this thing up and running. And by the next hour, it had already reached 2 million people.
Wow.
So every single person in that link, even I went back and thanked Kyle for hooking me up with Ari.
Yep.
Because I didn't think of him, because we haven't, you know, just life gets in the way, and we haven't chatted for a while, and so I wasn't clear on what he, you know, had. Yeah, I knew he graduated and got his job and all that, but I wasn't clear on what he did for a living. But if I hadn't talked to Kyle, and Kyle hadn't given me that incredibly vital piece of information, we wouldn't have been able to move forward. So my point is we are only limited by our imagination. We each have something that we can do. That's why we are all the army that's going to make this work.
Yep. So we can do things like calling restaurants and order food for a local hospital.
Oh, that was so beautiful. That was a piece that was done on CNN this morning. Yeah, right. I got a pizzeria in New York, right? The owner of the pizzeria, first of all, took out a $50,000 bank loan so that he can stay in business and pay his employees.
Wow.
Right?
Yep.
So there's a guy who's thinking ahead. He's like, I don't know, we'll pay it off later, or we won't. I don't care.
This is in the end, you know, us New Yorkers have this reputation for, you know, like the rudest, you know, most uncaring people in the world. And there's so many cool stories coming out of this state right now.
We're going to see them across the country. New York right now is the epicenter in the United States. So they're the ones that are really, really like thinking way outside the box right now and giving the rest of us the path forward. So I'm gonna clear my throat. It's not a coronavirus, but talking a lot makes me have to clear my throat. Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, he was making pizzas. Somebody called in order for the hospital or something like that. And so he was making some pizzas for one of the local hospitals in New York. And somebody randomly out of the blue called him and said, what can I do to help? You guys are a restaurant. I know you don't have your sit down menu going on anymore, and your waitresses and your wait staff and bar staff and all that. And what can I do to help? And the guy said, well, you know, actually my staff is fine right now because I took out this loan and I'm paying them. But do you want to pay it forward and order some pizzas? Throw in on this order that I'm making and we'll make some, we'll make it a bigger order for the hospital staff. So that person, you know, ordered four more pizzas. And then they must have gotten off the phone and called everybody they knew, because this guy suddenly got more orders for people ordering a pizza or 10 pizzas. He said he got orders from Colorado.
Yeah.
For people ordering pizzas for this hospital so they could feed the staff. And
people are good when you give them the chance to be.
And that's the thing, is we're all being called to find our place. So if we can't do anything, we can't think of anything else to do right now, you can call your local restaurant, because there are so many places that are staying open right now that are the front line, right? We have the hospitals. We also have like the dental offices, because people don't stop needing emergency dental services.
Right.
Right. And a friend of mine is a dental hygienist, and they went back and forth about it, and they are going to stay open because people still need root canals and they still break their teeth and they still have cavities, and keeping our mouths healthy keeps our whole body healthy.
Oh, yeah. So, absolutely.
Right? You can call your local birthing centers, because babies are still being born and midwives are still working 24/7. You can call, right? Your local police station, your local fire and first responder station, because as this gears up, people are not going to have time to cook for themselves
or
their lunch or anything, right?
Yep. Right? I've got friends who are firefighters and cops, and they are living in the, you know, it's like this, forget this shift thing. They're living in the stations.
That's what was coming out of Italy. One of the doctors was saying that doctors no longer have a specialty either. Every single doctor is doing, whether you're an orthopedist or a cardiovascular surgeon or an OBGYN or what, you are all doctors now. And they're even doing some of the work of nurses, because there's just not enough hands. So everybody is doing everything.
So making sure our frontline medical workers are taken care of, even in a little way, just calling and ordering a takeout meal or a few and send them to the local hospital. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Call a local restaurant that you know services. Don't call the hospitals, right?
No.
Do not call them right now. They are busy pants. But call local restaurants and find out what you can do to buy a few meals or to offer money, and then the restaurant can throw in and decide what it is that would be best. Because nurses and doctors, especially in this time, firefighters and food, they need what I used to call pocket food.
Yeah.
I always used to have a pocket sandwich, because sometimes the only time you are eating is on the way to the bathroom. That's your whole break for 12 hours is you're going to go pee. So you're literally going to eat this sandwich while you're walking down the hallway.
This is New York. We do subs well. We know how to do subs. And there's a critical shortage of masks right now. I know that there's an effort for people to start making masks at home. And if people want to look at my Facebook page, I've got some open source files on there.
Right on. And another thing that I was brought to my attention today is that places like Michaels and Joann Fabrics are starting to organize because they have giant mailing lists, right? So they can reach hundreds and hundreds of people. So they are, in fact, Joann Fabrics apparently on their website, I didn't look at it yet, has an approved pattern for masks.
Okay, good. That's okay.
And they're donating the supplies to make it. Now, most, you know, hardcore crafters and sewers have a whole room full of fabric, but they are donating supplies for people to make these things.
Harbor Freight just got my business forever with what they did today, and I don't know if you heard about that.
I did not. What are they doing?
They took every respirator, every mask, every single-use glove in their inventory nationwide and said, it is going to hospitals.
Beautiful.
Donated. Harbor Freight's got my business forever after this.
So, and nursing schools are doing that, too.
Yeah.
They're donating all of the supplies they can that can be used at the patient bedside. And I heard yesterday that medical TV shows are doing that, too.
Yep, they are.
Because they do have real equipment. Some of it is older and is going to need to be retooled, but they do actually have equipment at their disposal and things that they use for their shows.
So, if people want to find you on Facebook, it's Terry.
But I
got to
finish one more thing about the masks.
Finish one more thing. Keep going.
Okay, so about the masks, right? Because a few people have said, well, I don't sew, so how can I help with this? So again, we're only limited by our imagination because you can contact, you know, Joann Fabrics or Michaels, whatever your local fabric or craft store is in the area, and you can offer your services. Do you do computer work, or do you want to help with, you know, their phone list or something like that to notify people? Do you have a car? You can take the supplies from the store to people's houses that are going to be doing the sewing.
Yeah.
And then take it from the people's houses to the hospital drop-off point. And this is a very important point as well, is are you a nurse or doctor, or do you know a nurse or doctor? Because they're very busy right now, so the last thing they need, even though we all mean really well, is for all of us to show up on the ER doc with boxes and masks and things, right? So they need to organize a drop-off point.
Yeah, there are drop-off points here in Buffalo. I don't know about anywhere else.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. So that might already be in process. So if you have a car, you can help. If you know how to use doing a computer is your deal, you can help. If being a sales clerk and you want to volunteer your time and help cut out masks or something like that, so you don't have to be the person sewing them.
Right.
And they're also going to need scrubs, and they're going to need gowns, and they're going to need all kinds of stuff.
And again, it's about that chain thing, and I'll give an example. Somebody here in Buffalo is listening to this show, and they can sew. They have the fabric at home, and they find that approved pattern, and they make it, but they don't know how to get it there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, call me, because I'm one of the people out in this right now doing that kind of thing, because I've got the protocols in place to do it. And so that's how the chain works, is they get that piece of information from you, from this, and know it's like, okay, this is how this works, and we're all stronger together.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And if people can't, you know, they're still puzzling over what it is that they could possibly do or have to offer for this whole situation, if you are a spiritual person of any kind, you can pray, because it really does matter. And various groups are doing different things. I have a friend in Hawaii who is organizing for, it doesn't matter what denomination you are, every day at 11:11 a.m., and 11:11 p.m., your local time, you can take a few minutes to pray or meditate or offer your energy to the collective whole. Because what it's doing is going like a wave around the earth as each time zone hits 11:11.
Yeah. Now that's really cool.
Right? And you don't have to do it every day. Like sometimes I've been busy or on the phone or, you know, organizing things. So I haven't hit it every day. But every time I look up at the clock and it's 11, you know, if it's 11:11, I'm like, oh, we're doing it.
Yep. Cool.
And the other thing I heard was that, and these were some beautiful, haunting pictures out of Italy, because the streets are completely empty, right?
Yeah.
They're getting very serious about their social distancing and self-isolation. Is the Pope was out walking the streets of Italy. He had one or two people, you know, his guards or whatever with him, but he was just out taking a walk, and he was just wearing his whites, and, you know, he didn't have the big hat on or the big flowing robes. He was just wearing his regular everyday outfit. And he was walking through the streets of Italy and stopping at different sacred sites and different tourist sites and praying. And he now is doing a 9 p.m. thing. So you can tap in at 9 p.m. specifically if you're, like, I was raised Catholic, so that kind of really touched me that, yeah. that the Catholics were having a connection. And our local churches are ringing the church bells.
Yep.
Every day at 3.
And you know me very well. And you really do. You know that warrior spirit of mine, and people have started saying it continually throughout the day. I guess I have to accept it. But even for me, I take a quiet moment every day, and my faith is in people. My faith is in people. And it has been my whole life, and for the most part, they haven't let me down. And I think that we can do this, all of us together. And it is about joining hearts across that 6-foot distance and joining spirits across that 6-foot distance and saying, we're going to do this and we're going to get through it.
I mean, we don't really have a choice because this is what's happening.
Viruses don't care. We have no option. This virus does not care. Yeah.
No, viruses don't care if you believe in them or not, and they're equal opportunity infectors. So yep. they're going to do what they're going to do. But it doesn't mean that we don't have ways to positively help lift each other up through this experience. And
absolutely.
It's kind of what we're being called to do.
Yep, absolutely. So if people want to find you on Facebook, Cricket, it's Terry with one R and one I. Owens,
yes.
Correct?
T-E-R-I Owens, O-W-E-N-S.
Right. And for those of you who know her but don't know me, my name is Kip Williams. I'm in Buffalo. It's a very distinctive picture. It kind of matches the voice. Trust me. Cricket will tell you that.
Another link on Facebook as well. Right. For those of us that, one of the things that I do every year is I'm one of the organizers of what's called the Midwest Herb Fest. And we're an herbal learning weekend in the Midwest, and we're discussing our event is July 31st to August 2nd, mm-hmm. but we're discussing putting that on hold for this year. So we may be doing like the American Herbalist Guild of an event as well, and that's not till October, but they're already discussing making it an online experience.
Yeah,
and so are we. But we have a Facebook group.
Okay.
And we have been offering all sorts of, from all of our past teachers. So there's been a lot of sharing today, in fact, from, I like to think of them as the Earth Tribe, right? So they're the gardeners and so forth. So one of our other organizers is a master gardener, and she's been sharing various articles so people can start thinking about, you know, gardening and growing things for themselves. And she's sharing all sorts of stuff for everything from outdoor gardeners to wild harvesting, right? Because you can. There's an awful lot of plants coming up right now that make fabulous salad, but they're completely safe.
And it's a really good idea for everybody to plant a garden this year.
Right? And you can even, like, we have an apartment, so we don't have access right now to outdoor gardening. But she's got a great reference article up there for how you can have container gardens and so forth in your apartment.
And
you don't have a balcony.
Right. And later on this evening when I'm mixing this showdown, I will send you links I have towards doing like community gardens in the area where you live in. So it has been just an absolute pleasure. God, I love you so much personally. and you and I can go for hours talking on various subjects, and we have in our lives, folks.
We have. No, this is enough to be getting on with. There are specific herbal protocols that people can do to support themselves, and all herbalists are starting to agree that very basic things like vitamins.
Yeah.
And I will put this one also at the top of my page again. I did it's about a 45-minute workshop, online workshop, with some of the stuff that I teach in the support of wellness and nutrition. And there are several books in there that people can order online so they can start to empower themselves about what to cook and why. And I may do some more videos along those lines for people so that they have ideas now that we're all home cooking for ourselves, how they can really maximize what I like to think of as maximize your own best level of wellness.
Yep.
So you and I can do another show about that another time or whatever, but there's also videos about that.
We can, because actually I'm kind of liking the chance. I really do cook, and I'm liking the chance to be home and cook. So it's kind of fun.
Right, and it's really vital, especially, again, for people that are our frontline workers to do everything they can to empower themselves to stay healthy.
Absolutely, absolutely. I love you, Cricket.
Thank you so much. This was really a great piece of my day to be able to share with people and help them to feel better about the fact that this is pretty intense.
Yes, absolutely. All right. And we will have you back on and we'll continue to talk, especially as things begin to build. I love you.
Right on. I love you too, sweetheart. Thank you so much.
And that was Cricket. Guys, I got to tell you, I had so much fun with that one. I really did. I love Cricket so much. And you've been listening for a while, so I'll make this short. You got the information there at the end about how to find Cricket Terry Owens on Facebook. At the beginning, I told you how to find me. I said it again in the show. One of the things I do here in Buffalo in Western New York is a Nomad Project. And right now, that's normally a charity and benefit that I did at the holidays that extended as COVID-19 began to build. And now, if you are a member of a vulnerable population, if you are over 70, if you are a cancer patient, transplant patient, immune compromised, somebody with underlying heart or lung conditions, by law, last Sunday night, you should not be out other than to take a walk. And I am one of the people available in the city to do grocery and pharmacy runs for you. I hold very strict protocols. You heard Cricket and I talk about them, about doing that to keep myself healthy and to make sure what I'm picking up for you is safe. I always give my phone number. It's area code 504. It's not a Buffalo area code. It's a New Orleans area code. Area code 504-717-8386. My name is Kip Williams. If you are one of those people or you know of someone who needs that, get a hold of me and we'll make that happen for you. This show is available free. You can find it on Spotify, iHeartRadio, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, any podcast collector. I give a link to the Master Library. It's on every night trying to provide information and communication and a point of hearing voices of people you know and putting some hope and information out there into the atmosphere. You can hear it every night, Desolation Angel Radio. Just Google that. And if you find a Podbean site with Desolation Angel Radio, you have found the Master Library. It is free. There are no paywalls for it. I cannot picture making a profit off of this situation. We will get through it together, all of us. It's going to be hard. It's going to be tough all the way through it. And then once we get out of it, it's going to be hard. It's going to be tough. And we're going to have to continue to love one another, support one another, and make sure that all our brothers and sisters have food on the table and their lights on and somewhere safe to eat and a warm, dry roof. And it's going to take all of us doing it together because this is going to fundamentally change everything. I close every night normally with a song, just as I open with. And tonight, I think it's highly appropriate. About a year and a half ago, I needed to be good to myself. A lot of things had happened in my life. And I'd always wanted to see the Bruce Springsteen solo show live at the Kerr Theater on Broadway. And it was stunning and amazing. And listening to him talk about where every song came from, there was one particular moment that made me cry. And it was the intro to one song. And we don't even need to play the song, but I want you to hear this intro because it's so appropriate for tonight. I'll be back on tomorrow night with another guest. And we will continue to give useful information and give you a point of connection and help you be part of that community. I want to hear from you, no matter who you are, as we document and chronicle these days of the virus and what it's doing to us and our lives, because I think it's important to do that. I love you all. I got your back somewhere out there in the night. The Desolation Angel does. I'll talk to you again tomorrow night.
It was a beautiful fall November evening. It was during the writing of my book. I drove back to my neighborhood where I grew up looking for, but I still don't have a fucking clue. All I know is the streets were dead empty and the whole place looked like it had been locked down since 1955. My corner church was silent and unchanged. No weddings, no funerals. I rolled slowly another 50 yards up my block to visit my great tree, and it was gone. It had been cut to the street since the last time that I drove through. So I got out of the car, and I looked down, and there was a square of musty earth that held the remaining snakes of its roots on the edge of the parking lot. So I reached down, picked up a handful of dirt, and I just kind of ran it through my hands, and my heart sank like a kid who'd suffered some irretrievable loss, you know, like some piece of me was gone. I don't know, I guess it was just that it had been there long before I was. I assumed it would be there long after I was gone, and I liked that. It felt eternal. It was at the center of our street, and it had rooted our neighborhood for so long. So I sat there for a while just cursing the county and listening to the sounds of the evening come on, and I looked again and I realized it was gone, but some essential piece of it was still there, the air and the space above its roots. I could still feel the life and the soul and the light. My childhood friend there. It's just that its leaves, its branches, and its massive trunk were now outlined, shot through by evening stars and sky. But my great tree's life couldn't be ended or erased so easily from this place because it's history. And history matters. Its imprint was too great, it was too old, and it was too strong, and it'd been there too long to be done away with so easily. It had stood witness to everything that had happened on these small streets beneath its arm, all the joy and all the heartbreak and all the life. And when we live amongst ghosts, always trying to reach us from that shadow world, they're with us every step of the way. You know, my dead father's still with me every day. I miss him, and if I had a wish, oh man, I wish he could have been here to see this. But I visit with him every night, a little bit. That's a grace-filled thing. And Clarence, I get to see him be with Clarence a little bit every night. And Danny, Walter, Bart, my own family, so many of them gone from these houses that are now filled by strangers. But the soul's a stubborn thing. Doesn't dissipate so quickly. Souls remain. They remain here in the air, in empty space, dusty roots, and sidewalks that I knew every single inch of, like I knew my own body as a child, and in the songs that we sing. You know, that is why we sing. We sing for our blood and for our people, because that's all we have at the end of the day. Each other, and maybe that's what I'm looking for when I go down there. I just want to commune with the old spirits. Stand in their presence. Feel their hands on me. One more time. Anyway, once again, I stood in the shadow of my old church, you know. You know what they say about Catholics. Yeah, there's no getting out. No, you know, they got you. They got you. The bastards got you when the getting was good. They did their work hard, and they did it well. Because the words of a very strange but all too familiar benediction came back to me that evening, and I want to tell you these were words that as a kid I mumbled these things, I sing-songed them, I chanted them, bored out of my fucking mind, in an endless drone before class every fucking day. Every day, the green blazer, the green tie, the green trousers, the green socks of all of St. Rose's unwilling disciples. You know, but for some damn reason, as I sat there on my street that night, you know, mourning my old tree, and once again surrounded by God, those are the words that came back to me, and they flowed differently. Was our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, just give us this day, and forgive us our sins, our trespasses, as we may forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, all of us, forever and ever. Amen. Oh, may God bless you, your family, and all those that you love. And thanks for coming out tonight.